section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Did the Raw Go Home show deliver? What happened at Sacrifice? And the WWE Network expands its library. All this and much, much more this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So the WWE Network expands its library. So what are they adding, Aaron?
So they're adding quite a few things, but some of the big ones that they're adding for us, we, of course, are fans of WCW. We watched it in the late 90s, and they're actually going to be adding those shows, which will be really nice to see because, you know, of course, we went to some WCW events, so it'd be kind of cool to see that. Well, let me ask you, are you excited about that, to see Nitros potentially?
I'm really excited because they've also started adding past Raw and SmackDowns, and I've actually been going through to the events that we've been to. Like, we went to the one in Peoria where I got to sit ringside, and I got your tickets a little up higher. But I also have been trying to get stuff from our friend Dave, friend of the show, to find out which Raw and SmackDown and Nitros and Thunders that we went to, because I want to get those. I want to rewatch those and also somehow maybe be able to download them as well. So I'm actually pretty pumped about this. I'm looking forward to the Nitro. But the one thing that I really like is the rivalries documentaries they're going to be doing. And they're going to be almost an hour long, which is something that you can't do on cable TV. And yeah. That's why I think the WWE Network, that's why I'm excited. And I watch it a lot more now because they've had some really good programming. And that's the only thing that's scaring me is when they up the price and what it's going to be up to. And that's my only concern. But right now I'm really liking the network. And I believe that the subscribers, I think that number is going to be different when they start releasing the numbers here shortly.
Yeah, you know, and to talk about the rivalries documentaries that they're going to be doing, basically what it's going to be is that they're going to look at some of the biggest rivalries, you know, almost like a WrestleMania rewind, but not focused just on WrestleMania. So, for example, you know, in WCW, you had like Hogan and Sting. They had a very big rivalry that spanned, I want to say like 18 months or so, you know, maybe even 24. I mean, it was a long term.
That's when he was doing the crow gimmick too.
Yeah,
so he didn't wrestle forever, it felt like.
Exactly. And so it was a very big deal, and so that's something that, you know, you obviously, it's, you know, put into an hour, actually an hour may not be enough for that, but they're going to do obviously things with WWE. So you have, of course, Stone Cold and Rock. You know, they'll talk about Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, which obviously you've heard, you know, ton about you know, already, but they're gonna be doing that stuff, which is interesting. But to talk about your point about when they actually up the price, I'm not going to be as distraught at paying $12 a month, let's say. But I've probably said in the past, I am going to hold off then on renewing because they're going to be adding this stuff constantly. And it's not like it won't be there in 6 months. So let's just say you are not an active WWE Network subscriber and you decide to get in 6 months in. You're going to have 6 months of original content that you can go back and watch now, and you don't have an issue paying for that next 6 months because you have all that time. And then you can just wait and not resubscribe. So I actually think that if anything else, WWE should do a better job of having these original shows out, because that's going to make someone like myself want to stay there for the long haul and not maybe wait, because there might come a time where I wait 3 weeks before I renew because the pay-per-view is not out yet.
Yeah, and you can time it where it'll end right after WrestleMania if you wanted to, which could be the smart thing. But the one thing that also that they're still saying it's going to happen, and we've been waiting for this, the Monday Night War, not wars as they did in the press conference, but the Monday Night War, they haven't started that. And I thought that was going to happen right away. Now, I believe that maybe the fact that Ultimate Warrior passed, I think that maybe delayed it a little bit.
Well, they did say it was supposed to come out in the summer. I think that they delayed it because there's so much content that's there. I mean, it's going to be like 3 years worth of stuff that they get to talk about, you know, maybe four even. And, you know, it's going to be probably going like head to head saying, here's what happened, you know, for these 6 weeks for WWE. Here's what happened for these 6 weeks for Nitro. and they're going to go over that and say, look, you know, Nitro, obviously, here's why they had a better product. I'm kind of curious how long this is going to be, because the Monday Night Wars DVD was really good. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Obviously, it was very WWE focused, but I still thought that they did a pretty good storytelling job. I think that this could potentially be one of those too, where it if they tell it correctly, it could say why wrestling was so big at that time and what made it such a big deal. I'm just afraid that it's going to get a little WWE-ized, you know?
That is true, and that's why I almost wish that they would have someone on the Nets that did their own version of the network, where they would actually air shows how they were and not how the WWE edited them, like, after the fact, where if something happened or someone held up a sign, they'd blur it. I'd like to see all that stuff taken out, but... Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things, I guess, that we'll have to wait and see. I did watch the World War III 98, where the Kidman Juventud Guerrero match happened, where they beat up Rey Mysterio afterwards because he helped. He made the Latino World Order lose Kidman end up retaining the championship, which I thought was really interesting. Great match, and the fact that they used all three rings as well, which was impressive back then, especially. So. I just wish that they would bring back War Games, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
But you never know.
That is true. But Kenta is actually leaving NOAH, which is actually really interesting. What's the rumor on this?
So, and to give a little bit of backstory here, so NOAH is a Japanese promotion, very similar to AJPW or NJPW. They have multiple promotions there, and they focus on different areas. So, for example, one promotion may focus on strong style, one promotion may focus on the entertainment aspect or a cruiserweight, you know, that sort of thing, right? So Kenta is actually a really great performer over there, and he is somebody who has created a lot of really great moves. In fact, there are some that you may notice that your boy CM Punk has stolen quite a few from. So in particular, Go to Sleep, you know, his main move is something that was stolen from Kenta. And the rumor right now is that he might be heading to WWE. So they know had a press release on Wednesday stating that Kenta was going to be leaving them. And he's apparently been in talks with WWE for quite a while. So I don't know. I mean, for somebody who basically had a lot of his moves stolen from CM Punk, is this somebody you might be interested in seeing in WWE?
Definitely. And this would be kind of cool if they did a... Well, this is if CM Punk ever came back, but did an angle where he said, you stole my moveset or something like that, and maybe brought back in the fact that, hey, in no mercy or something like that. But I don't know. But the thing is, I don't remember the last time a Japanese, like a guy who was big in Japan, came over to the States and was still big. They tried to get, Bob Sapp. They tried to get Bob Sapp to come, and he never did because he was huge in Japan. If you remember, Scott Norton at one point was huge in Japan. Huge.
Yeah.
Brought up in WCW, and he was just kind of there. It's just one of those things. I think some Japanese guys just won't, they just don't fare well in the United States.
Tensai.
Okay. Yes. And that is a good example, too. Because, I'm trying to think what he was before. Prince Albert.
A-Train,
yeah. So when he is in Japan, he was huge there. And then... He comes back and then he's now
well,
an announcer.
And granted, they packaged him incorrectly and everything.
Correct.
You know, I think that you have an opportunity here, though, to kind of buck tradition. And what I'm saying here is that there are some Japanese stars that have translated fairly well. Vader is actually somebody who did pretty good in WCW, not necessarily in WWE. You have actually a few others that you know, were pretty big over in Japan. You know, Great Muto is definitely one of them. Bruiser Brody was over in Japan. He was a really good. Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan translated. I mean, he's such a huge name. He translates everything, or he transcends everything. I think that Kenta could potentially be that type of performer, but you have to package him well. You have to put him in good mid-card feuds, and you have to give him the ability to get over with the fans first before you force him down our throats. Because I think that's the biggest problem that they've had with Sin Cara. That was the biggest problem they had with Ryback, is that he wasn't over with fans as much, and they forced him into the main event. And he's somebody that honestly could have been a huge star, but they you know, packaged him incorrectly. So,
And also to point out that he's actually older than what I thought. He's 33. He just turned 33. WWE has not been trying to get guys who are over, you know, like 30, and guys who are under 6 foot. He's only 5'9". That's his build weight. So he's probably like, what, 5'7"? Because Kurt Angle's billed at 6 foot, and I'm sorry, but we towered over him when we took the picture.
Oh, yeah, he was 5'9 easily.
Exactly. So how tall is he? I don't know. You know, I think he'll do really good. I mean, he was in Ring of Honor for a little bit. He did a small, you know, a couple small stints in, I think it was going back 05, 07, somewhere around there. So he did okay with Ring of Honor, but I'm curious. And I think it'd be cool if the WWE signed him. So then he shows his moveset off, and that'll be awesome. And speaking of the WWE, El Torito?
El Torito.
versus Hornswoggle is, they're giving them so much love. And here's the thing that I thought was interesting. When I have wrestling on, my daughter knows one name, and I'm pretty sure you can guess what it is.
John Cena.
Exactly. So I have an action figure that you got me a few years ago that I was cleaning out my office, and guess what? John Cena. I wish I could get her to say that now. So,
did you give it to her?
No, she's like, can I open it? I said, no. She goes, why? I go, because they're worth more if they're not open.
Wait, was it actually packaged? Because I actually bought that for you on Amazon. I thought it was a loose figure.
No.
It was a joke gift, of course, because you know who wants John Cena. But it was actually in the package and everything.
It's in the package and everything. I haven't opened it. And that's why I told her, I said, that's what you should do with some of your toys, because they might be worth something. Of course, that doesn't matter. No. But
anyway, to El Torito and Hornswoggle. Right. So like you mentioned, they're getting a lot of love. And I mean, they are giving them so much airtime right now, to the point that there's so many other people they could be giving airtime to that they're not. And first of all, let me ask you this much. El Torito and Hornswoggle, is the feud entertaining? Is it interesting for you?
The reason why I brought up my daughter is because she watched it. Like, she doesn't watch wrestling. She watched that. Because she thought it was two little kids. So she was intrigued by it. She was also laughing because she realized that it was a comedy match. Mm-hmm. That's why I brought her up, because she's interested. That means someone who's, you know, she's 4, almost 5. That means that other people who are that young are entertained by that. I find it comical and maybe a little bit entertaining, but they love it. Mm-hmm. So I believe that when the pay-per-view happens on Sunday, if she's around, she'll stop and watch that match, and she'll laugh at it. She'll be like, oh, look at that guy who's a bull fighting the other guy. So
I actually thought we would disagree about this, because I hate to say, I actually find this entertaining. A lot of times when they do this type of stuff, it actually really annoys me. But it's actually been fairly entertaining, because, it, you know, 3MB is such a joke group that, you know, we kind of like them because of that, because they're such a joke group. Throwing Hornswoggle in there, kind of funny. The fact that they're doing this little feud, kind of funny too. So it is entertaining. But I do want to bring something up real quick, which is that they're getting more airtime than Damian Sandow. And the reason I bring him up in particular is he's somebody who I really like. I think he's a fantastic heel. He's been having a little bit of a tough time connecting with the crowd, because they're kind of doing some pretty stupid things with him right now. But is he somebody – let me ask you this. Damian Sandow, Intercontinental Champion. Is that something?
Yes. And here's what I think they should do with Sandow. After this is over with, give him till July. He's off till July. Have him come back. He has a resting period, and you could then he can come back and do, you know, like 6 months, and they could push him a little bit, give him the U.S. title, possibly IC title if you want to. Have him do that. And then he's back in the picture, and then give other guys time off. Do you know that Kali hasn't been around for a while? He's actually off until May something.
Oh, really?
Same thing with Samurai. Hmm. The real reason why she left, it's not because she stunk as a wrestler, but she does. But she's doing the Marine 15 or whatever it is with The Miz. And The Miz is gone, right? So you're not missing any of those people. But when they come back, you can then let other people rest. That's why I believe the 9.5 month cycle. You have guys wrestle for 9.5 months, and then you give them basically, you know, 2.5 months off. If they have that time to heal, when they come back, you then push them like they're a newbie. Perfect timing. By the way, where's JTG? Is he still employed?
Yeah, he still is.
Okay.
Damian Sandow, I like him. I think that he is he's actually a pretty decent wrestler, and he's got a good gimmick, and he's good on the mic too. You know, he's not a bumbling buffoon. And you know, this what they did for him on Monday, got him some airtime,
oh
a little
gosh.
bit, But he looked ridiculous, and not in the funny ridiculous. It just looks stupid ridiculous. And that's going to be something that's probably going to come back to haunt him. It probably is. So, and speaking of, you know, people who are in kind of weird places, I got to ask you about Sheamus. Where do you think he should be right now with time WWE?
Time off.
But he just had time off. He came back at Royal Rumble.
Yes, but realistically, give him a month off and have him come back, or have him come back. Give him a couple weeks off, have him come back. Because you have, you know, Bo Dallas and Adam Rose, and the rumor is Sami Zayn, that they're all going to appear on Monday. That's great. They can appear, have him do something behind the scenes, have him make some appearances, and then once their stuff's over with, because people are saying that Adam Rose is a bust. I saw a report from Peoria, but then I saw another one where the guy said it was one of the funniest matches he's ever seen.
Well, you've seen Adam Rose. I mean, to, you know, I guess kind of segue here. Adam Rose, he's pretty entertaining, wouldn't you say? Like, you like his entrance, don't you?
Yeah, I think he's entertaining. I think Sheamus is entertaining as well. But it's almost like Sheamus should be going for a title, and he's not. And you can't have him go against Daniel Bryan. But let's say Big E drops the title to...
Bad News Barrett.
He's facing Bad News Barrett. Have him and Barrett feud, and if Barrett was to drop the title, it wouldn't bother me. Or even if Sheamus is going for the U.S. title, that's fine. Let him do it. Otherwise, yeah, he just came back. But why don't, you know, if you don't have anything going on for that particular wrestler, give him a week off. Because I think some people having time off helps out in the long run, gets their head clearer.
I think that Sheamus is a really tremendous talent. He's definitely an upper mid carder, you know, maybe even main eventer, you could say. And I think that if you give him the IC title, I think that's what he should be going for. I think that he needs to be feuding for the IC title tremendously, because then he can bring it up to the original status, which, you know, think about when Warrior had it, where it was the second title. Like, you're the second best person in WWE right now because you have the IC title. Not you're the 50th best person.
I got it. I know how to fix this. Have him join Evolution.
Okay.
That would change it, because since Batista, he's done after Extreme Rules, have Sheamus turn heel. He's with Evolution. You're doing something with him. There you go. No time off needed.
Mm-hmm.
That would be kind of cool. The crowd would boo the crap out of him. Oh.
I would be okay with that, too. I would be okay with that. I actually like Sheamus better as a heel than a face. So, mm-hmm. Andy, let's talk about Kane and Daniel Bryan. I want to ask you, has the feud been built up properly? Do you like the route that they've gone with this? And is this a main event for a pay-per-view?
It's not going to be the main event. We already know that, because, of course, it's going to be, you know, Evolution's the main event. But, okay.
But has it been built up properly enough to be a main event?
No. And it's for a weird reason. It's because he just got married, then his father passes. That's what hurt it, because they could have built the feud up on that Raw and then on that SmackDown. And then I think that going into the Go Home show, it would have been a lot different. I believe that the show would have been, they could have built that feud up where you're like, oh my gosh, but it's been built up where he just needs a mask. I'm wondering if Daniel Bryan's going to try and rip it off his head. Turn the match.
That'd be actually kind of interesting, but they haven't really done that.
Right. So. And so is it built up properly? I'm not sure. It's one of those wait and see things. But I do like the fact that, OK, Kane's powers is coming from his mask now, opposed to what it was before. But I remember he had the powers without the mask. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I personally don't like how that this has gone. Look, Daniel Bryan needs a feud with somebody, because they really don't have anyone else for him to feud with right now. They don't have any good heels, because you have Evolution taking on Shield. So you have a 3-on-3 match, right? So what other heels are there?
Exactly. If you have Sheamus turn, you can have Sheamus face him at the next pay-per-view at Payback.
Yeah, I agree. And see, I totally agree.
So that would be really cool if they did something along those lines. I would be happy with that. And then, because then if with him turning heel, oh gosh, you know, that is so genius. And by the way, we should have wrote Raw, by the way, because they stole all our ideas from last week's episode. Remember, so it's been built up properly. Yes, I also believe that the Bad News Barrett and the Big E for the IC title has been built up properly as well. You had a great tournament. It's not something you do every week with like the IC title, then the US title. but it's been unique, if that makes sense. I'm happy with it. It timed in perfectly, unfortunately, with Warrior passing away, because he was considered, I think, the best IC champion. So this is built up properly. And honestly, if Big E retains, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think that Bad News Barrett's probably going to win the title. And I like the fact they've been giving it love. This is what they should have been doing for the past 10 years, which is giving the IC title enough airtime to show that, you know what, this title is important. Here's why. Because this is a title that kind of realistically almost anybody can win. And we give this to people who are up and comers. We give this to people to kind of test the water to see if they could run with the main title. And Bad News Barrett, I actually like his character. I thought they did a pretty good job building him up. He should probably wrestle a lot sooner than what they gave him the opportunity to do. But I think that it's actually what's sad is that there's two matches that I really want to see at this pay-per-view. I'm sorry, three matches I want to see. The WLC match, Big E versus Bad News Barrett, and then Evolution and The Shield. Those are the only ones I want to see. I don't care about Rusev's match. I don't care really about Daniel Bryan's match. You know, Bray Wyatt. I mean, yeah, maybe a little, but not that much.
But
you
what
know?
About Paige?
No,
Paige
she's going to retain.
She's going to retain. Paige versus Snuka is going to be a good match because they both are wrestlers.
So
I'm gonna actually enjoy that match. I don't care about now, but I do like the swagger, Rob Van Dam and Cesaro. I do like that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be a decent match, but I don't know. I don't know if RVD should have been thrown in there, to be honest. I understand why, you know, storyline wise, why they did it. But I would have much rather seen Swagger and Cesaro go at it and then, you know, have Cesaro move on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, but the match itself is going to be interesting because it's Extreme Rules. They could bring a ladder in if they want. And RVD is going to do something sick. And then, of course, Cesaro is going to pin him 1-2-3, which is going to happen. I mean, it's
sure.
Because
well,
Cesaro
I don't
needs a win.
I don't think Cesaro needs the win. I think that Cesaro should not get pinned. That's what I will say. He doesn't have to win, but he cannot get pinned.
What if he was about to win, RVD does a 5-star frog splash on top of him, he gets up, and then he pins Swagger?
Yeah, I'd be okay with
that. You could do
that,
and I guess that Cesaro would stay face.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. All right. And it would be a good match. It'd be entertaining. I think that's the biggest thing, is that it would be an entertaining match.
I wish that this would be a steel cage match, too. I mean, they're doing the thing with Daniel Bryan. I'm sorry, not Daniel Bryan, but with Bray Wyatt and John Cena. I almost wish that they would actually somehow drop the cage on this match, because I think that this could be entertaining as a cage match as well for a triple threat. But
yeah, it could be.
I'm also disappointed that they didn't do the lumberjack match for either that or even the Bray Wyatt John Cena, because the steel cage, yeah, it's there. But the dynamic of the storyline with Cena, it's almost like you can't do lumberjack. You have to have him in the steel cage. And I think about it because some of the fans have turned on him, and he's embracing the hate, which I think is interesting. Could he turn heel, though?
You know, I think that that could be a very interesting dynamic. And I've said this before about John Cena. You know, if you look back to WCW 97, 98, 99, Hogan was getting cheers. NWO was getting cheers. They were heels that were getting cheered. And the thing that WCW did that I absolutely loved, and this is why I am a fan of WCW, is that they didn't try to stop people from doing that. They let people cheer. They let people boo whoever they wanted. And each town was different. You know, I think about Lance Storm, when he had the Canadian title instead of the U.S. title.
Yeah.
They were in Canada, and he would say, play the Canadian national anthem. And everybody was cheering for Lance Storm like he was the god of WCW. And of course, that was his greatest run, you know, and everything like that. But then when he's in the U.S., of course, everyone's booing him. And I love that. And I think that this is a really good opportunity, because here's the thing about John Cena. You can have him turn heel, and the certain fans will still cheer him because he's a heel, because it makes him a better character, a more interesting character, makes him a little more dynamic. And I think that I would probably cheer for him because he's a heel. So I'm totally in favor of that. I am totally in favor of him turning heel and making him that shade of gray, you know, making him like, you know, hey, I got a little bit of an edge to me. I'm not just 100% good guy. I'm not lawfully good. I'm chaotic good. Or I'm chaotic neutral, you know, something like that. That's what I would like. Yeah, a little D&D reference. Yeah.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo so easy as. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out hostgator.com to take a bite out of web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 off the mark page and click at the banner. And make sure you check out the Section 86 off the mark page and click on the banner at the top of the page to say big on items at WWEshop.com. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling. Sacrifice happened. And Dixie Carter came out dressed as a man.
You know what? What's sad when that's the biggest thing that happened in your show?
Yeah,
the problem here is, you know, I said last week that all of the matches you've seen before, every single one of those matches you have seen at some point in time, you know, or it's been on free TV recently. And I think that's kind of the downside to it. You know, the Wolves bromance match was actually pretty good. Anderson Shaw's match was pretty good. But, you know, we already knew the outcome. Honestly, the only one I think on here that I was surprised at who won was Bobby Roode. I thought that Bully Ray was going to win the match, you know, and finally get a win back. That was the only one that really surprised me. It was a good match, but this didn't feel like a pay-per-view. And I think that you have to have a really nice payoff or something strange, you know, some sort of swerve to happen. Maybe have a heel turn or something to make it like, oh, man, that was amazing. I can't wait to see what's going to happen on Thursday. And instead, everything was expected. And I think the only thing that happened that was a little bit of a surprise maybe was Dixie Carter. And that was it. That's not a swerve, though.
Yeah, because you knew that I believe that EY was going to win. Of course, we now know his finishing move as the pile driver with an elbow drop. Mm-hmm. That was it. This is felt like when they were doing the pay-per-views, the live ones, and they would do it over a two-week period. That's what
on Impact.
On Impact Wrestling. That's what this felt like. It was not very good. I mean, some of the matches were decent, but other than that, there was no big payoff. But, you know, the one thing that I guess that kind of came out of it is that it looks like that Ken Anderson is now going to be looks like he's going to start a feud with James Storm, which is interesting.
Yeah. And that, of course, happened on Impact this past week, which I think the nice thing about that is it means that his match with Shaw was the final one. You know, that was it. Him and Shaw are done, which is good. I think it's high time that they end that.
Shaw
that
was hilarious, though.
You know, I told you, I said it was kind of cool that they were starting new things. You're like, dude, I don't like it at all. It's so stupid. But then you got really behind it. You really got into it. And I think last week, too, it was really funny, like with him and his mom.
Oh, gosh.
That was hilarious. And of course, they did some really good stuff with him. I just don't know what they do with Shaw, though, after that. Anderson, though, and Storm, I think, could have some really good chemistry in the ring because they're both good talkers. They can both put on really great matches, and you could have potential for some tag teams there because obviously Beer Money, and then you could have Anderson just team up with Jeff Hardy. They don't really have a whole lot of stuff going on with him, or potentially a fun one, which would be Bully Ray, since they just had some friction. And I think it would be hilarious to see them in the ring together or do a fatal four way. So there's some potential there. I think that this actually could be a pretty decent moneymaker for them. Even have it be a number one contenders match, you know, something like that. You have to have something on the line that makes them want to face each other.
Yeah. And the one thing that, you know, like this, the way this feud started, okay, I understand. And I do like the fact that they were actually tying in the feud because Magnus and Abyss were together. And then Abyss basically turned on Magnus. Does that make Abyss a heel or a face now opposed to a heel?
Kind of. Well, he was a little bit of a tweener. So, you know, we had talked about probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago when Samoa Joe was there and he was facing Magnus for the title and he should have won it, but didn't. And we had Abyss a part of that. And I said that they're probably going to do a Abyss Samoa Joe feud for a little bit. And they didn't, you know, because Samoa Joe got injured and, you know, he took some time off. But I think that this is a good, you know, kind of segue for both those characters. And if you give them the opportunity to split off evenly and go a different route altogether, I think that's a really smart move. You could potentially, if you had a second title, you could have Abyss go for it or Magnus go for it right afterwards. You know, we have Destination X coming up here in a couple of months. You could potentially have this feud go on for 2 months and then have Magnus say, I want the X Division title.
Oh, and gosh. Then
I'm serious. And here's why. Because he could do what Austin Aries did last year, go for the X Division title in order to cash it in for the World Heavyweight title. And you could do something like that. What would even be better is he goes for the title and loses because he's not good enough to win it. So he, you know, of course, has a breakdown because he wants his championship back. I think that'd be kind of an interesting storyline. You could go with that. So, but these two feuding.
Yeah. The one thing also that you were talking about with Magnus, he basically went out of the world title picture because EY beat him. So he retains, and then he also beats Bobby Roode too, which two big guys, I feel, in the company that EY has beat.
Yeah.
Interesting, but, you know, I like EY, and I feel the real reason why he actually has the title, this is horrible. There's two reasons. I think it's because he has a new show coming out on Animal Planet, and because Dan O'Brien just won the title. And that's what I think the sad part is.
The Animal Planet one, that, you know, we've heard rumors now that that is the case. I thought that right away. The moment he won the championship, that was something I thought because, you know, he's been on Stone Cold's podcast. He's been, I think, also on Art of Wrestling. And he's talked about his show quite a bit. And I thought, what if the reason he won the title is so that way they could do cross promotion? You know, TNA champion Eric Young. Oh, what's TNA? Oh, what is that? Oh, maybe I'll check it out. They're not going to gain that many viewers. It's on Animal Planet. It's not on like ABC or NBC or any of those. It's on Animal Planet. You know, they don't get that many viewers, and you're not going to get that many people to switch over from Animal Planet to TNA. All right. I'm just saying. It's just that annoys me. I like EY. He's probably a better choice than Chris Sabin for being a champion.
Yes.
He's more believable. But I still, you know, I look at him and I don't see TNA's champion. You know, I saw that with Magnus. I had no problem with Magnus winning the title. You know, Storm, Anderson, Roode. You know, I don't see it with him. I really don't.
And this is why I wish Samoa Joe won the title, because I believe that it would be a different story, completely different story. Because Samoa Joe could beat Magnus, he could beat Bobby Roode, and they could have excellent matches. I'm not no diss to Eric Young about it, but I believe that's the real reason they put the title on him, because then he's, you know, like you said, cross promotion. And with Samoa Joe, they wouldn't get that.
No, but they have a very believable champion. They have somebody who looks like he could destroy you. And the other thing, too, honestly, you look at him, and at least for me, I think you compare him to WWE's champion, because, of course, you kind of do that in WCW, WWF, you know. You would be like, oh, Goldberg versus Stone Cold. I bet Goldberg could beat him, you know. And you look at Eric Young, and you're like, well, probably anybody could beat Eric Young. But you look at Samoa Joe, and you're like, I don't know. I think he's probably the best champion that's out there right now, you know, whereas right now, I guess you'd say Daniel Bryan, you know.
But, you know, just you know, I think we're both on the same page. They always talk about how EY is such a good, everyone likes him, and he's done everything that TNA has asked him to do. And the fact that he's a champion, that's great that they gave him the championship. You know, for him personally, it's a big deal. But I believe as a company, this was probably the wrong move. Also, do you think that if they lose their deal with Spike TV, do you think they're done?
No, not at all.
Okay. You think that they would find somewhere else to air the shows?
Yeah, you know, I think that they could potentially go elsewhere. I think that there's a lot of places that they could potentially a lot of avenues that they could go down. I'd mentioned about Global Force Wrestling, about doing, you know, shows online, you know, say like 8 o'clock Eastern every Tuesday, we're going to have the next episode of Global Force Wrestling on there. So you can watch it. You know, and I think that that'd be a route that you could go down, and you have, or you put on a Hulu Plus, you know, you make it so people have to pay for it, or that you run ads that you cannot skip. That way the advertisers can look at and go, oh, we see that, you know, 500,000 people have watched your show. You know, here's $1 per view or something like that. So that sort of thing. So
anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.